Why don't you turn with me very near the back of your Bible to the book of 1 John. 1 John, we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 1 a little bit this morning as we think about Christmas time. One of the, in my mind, one of the more rich passages on Christmas is 1 John chapter 1, really much of 1 John. I think a lot of the reason is because of the heart of Christ and the heart of John that you see in this passage. That's what makes this so rich. Christmas time is much about fellowship. Now, we understand that in our culture, some. I think we're losing that in our culture daily. The more our culture changes and we get to be a very disconnected culture, but certainly at least from our historical context of Christmas and even today, very much about spending time with family. Many reasons why a lot of people aren't here today. A lot of people are traveling and they're with family. That's a good thing to do. Christmas helps us understand a part of God's nature that is relational and about fellowship. And God is relational God, as we saw in our series earlier this year. He made us to be relational as well. God, at Christmas time, demonstrated to us, showed us, put on display what it means to love. He practically demonstrated it. We can say love, and people say love a lot today, and it doesn't really mean love. But God demonstrated love and what love is by the sending of Jesus Christ. And this morning, just before we even really get into this relational passage today, I want us to think a little bit about Christmas, about Jesus coming. First of all, I want us to think about together, what did Jesus give up or set aside or leave when he left heaven and came to live in this earth? Think about it. Just think deeply about it a little bit. You know, the joys of heaven, the worship in heaven, the glories, purity, there was no sin. And where did he come to? He came to our broken world. Of a humbling thing. Think about the manner in which Jesus came with me this morning. We read it in Luke 2. He came to such a humble situation, didn't he? I mean, he could have been born a king and he could have just came a full-grown man, right? I mean, if you were going to do it, wouldn't you just do that? Instead of having to be born and all that nastiness and to be born even in a stable, not even a regular person would be in their day, and had to stay not even in a room, but with animals. The family that he was born into was very poor, and the country that he lived in was not a great country. It was Israel, and it was just one of those backwater provinces of the Roman Empire. He was born in such humble circumstances, how Jesus came. And then think with me then, in his life, how he was treated. You know, we don't have much of an account of his young life. It's probably a very normal human life as far as, people without much means would live. But we do have a record of his adult life, and he was very mistreated. He gave himself, and he loved on people, and he helped people, and he poured himself into people. And very often they responded by being mean to him and spiteful. And eventually, his own people that proclaimed to love him, betrayed him, and he died on a cross. Now think about that with me as we think about fellowship, about Christmas time, and about the nature of God. It's very stunning, isn't it? Because God, I was reading, I think it's in Revelation, this week, and it says, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Whoa. God knew from the foundation of the world what was going to happen. And his plan from the start was Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I mean, any one of us would have to admit that if we saw someone who was our enemy, who was against us, who was foul in our sight, we would not go to those lengths. But it was God's plan from the beginning. This tells us about God's relational nature, and that he is a restoring God, a loving God, who even though looking down and seeing what would happen all through the ages in creating people, seeing what would happen, the price he would have to pay, he did it anyway. He made us and he made a way for us through Jesus Christ. God demonstrates how loving he is in his relational nature. Now look at me as we think about those things then, and we look at 1 John chapter 1. Let's read that passage together. The whole passage is just 10 verses, 1 John 1, 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Talking again just about the relational nature of God and what he desires and what Christmas is all about. Let's pray together, ask for God's help as we unpack this and just think a little bit about Christmas time. Lord, again, we are just coming to you a needy people, asking you to open up our hearts, asking you to help us as we try to understand the rich and deep treasures of your word. And help us, God, to be able to make personal application this morning as we think on life, as we think on you, as we think about just the things you're doing in the world and even in our own lives. Every one of us here, we know you are working in our lives and helping us, changing us, drawing us near to yourself, God. Give us an openness of heart this morning to understand and to listen and, God, to be in tune with your spirit and so that we can be pleasing in your sight. God, we ask your blessing on the rest of this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you notice as we read 1 John chapter 1 that John's personal testimony is there? John is telling us, this is what I love about, especially like the books of the Bible that are of John, the book of John, Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. For one, he seems just like a really down-to-earth kind of guy. You know, he's a fisherman, right? So we can identify with that. I wonder if we'll ever get to go fishing with the apostles. You know, they use nets. They're cheaters. But it's real. This is his life experience he's telling us about. It's not just some disconnected story to him that he's passing down for us to accept or to not accept at some point in history. He's just telling us what happened in his life. He's saying, I want you to get this. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand what happened. God Almighty, the Word, God Almighty became a person. He took on flesh. My hands handled him. I've seen him. I've lived with him. I experienced him. And so it's his testimony. But it's a testimony of a relationship, isn't it? It's not a testimony where he says, you know, I saw him, wow, and he was over there, and that's where I needed him to be because wow, and he just stayed over there. No, it's a testimony of relationship. My hands handled him. I lived with him. He ministered to me. He was in my life. He knew Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He actually got to physically touch the creator of the universe. Amazing. It was an intimate and personal thing. Now that's one aspect of Christmas that is just to me, one of the most richest aspects of all. Is that, yeah, you know, we understand, you know, the baby in a manger, and we think about all those things. But think about it. The God, creator of the universe, became a man and came so that he could relate to us. You know, we think we have thoughts of God, and we think, well, God is this powerful, far-off God, perfect and holy. He's so other, and he's so amazing because we just look at the world. We can't even figure out the world, right, how it works and how everything, but God made it. But he's not only that. Isn't that stunning? He's not only other. He's not only perfect and holy, but he's also intimate and relational. He loves us. He's involved in each one of our lives individually. That's amazing to me. I know how insignificant I am, even from a human standpoint. Incredibly insignificant, right? My mark on history will be very little. Very little. I'm okay with that. That's most of us, right? That's like 99.999% of us. Our mark on history is going to be very little. You know, some of the most significant people in history, I've never even heard of them. You know, their day, they were really somebody. I've never heard of them. And you won't. But the God, creator of the universe, loves me. Wow. He demonstrated that at Christmas time. He demonstrated that when he looked down through the ages, he saw our problem. He knew that we were going to blow it in Adam, and that each one of us was going to choose to sin. That our world was going to become a very broken place to live in. We experience that all the time, don't we? We see the brokenness of our world. It's a hard place to live sometimes. The pain and the heartache that we cause each other, and the things that other people, and the evil that happens. But God, not just a God far off saying, wow, you take that mess and you deal with it, which is kind of a human attitude, right? Oh, boy, they got what they deserved. That's not what God did. He saw our deep need and he took action. He took action. He came on a rescue mission of restoration. That's what Christmas is about. It's a relational thing. God didn't just send angels to tell us to get our act together. Right? He didn't just speak from heaven or any of those kind of things, but he actually came himself and lived here, entered into our mess, came into our brokenness, became one of us, experienced life just like every other person will experience it. Entered in because he wanted to have a relationship with us. And John calls it fellowship. I love that word. For talking about the relational nature of God and the relational nature of life. Fellowship. Verse 3 says, we have seen and heard and declare to you that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ, relationships are restored. Relationship with each other, and relationship ultimately with God, because it's broken because of sin. Because again, God is holy. God is perfect, and he can't take any sin in his presence. He is a perfect God, and it wouldn't be just for God just to overlook evil and to say, oh, it's okay, right? And just think about in your own life, how many of us, we're so easily offended. I know I am. Maybe I'm the only one. But how many of us, if someone just came in and beat you up and stole everything you had, would you say, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. Come back next week, I'll have some more stuff, you can do it again. Right? It's not even just humanly. A holy God could not just say, that's all right, don't worry about it. For one, it wouldn't be good for anyone. Sin hurts, right? You know, I was driving to work today. I was driving to church today. That's where I work. And I saw a dead deer on the road. And you know what I thought? I sure like to eat meat. It is nice. Tastes good. But how horrible. How horrible that we have death in our world. I would love to be a vegetarian. We all have people that we love that die. How horrible. It's just because of sin. God took action. He didn't just leave us there and say, good luck with that. You want to be rebels? Be rebels. Go to hell. No, that's not what he did. He said, I see your problem. I'm coming. He came. He came, took on flesh. He lived here. He walked the same places that we walked. He entered into relationships. He was hurt the way that we're hurt. He took our sin upon himself. He paid our penalty on the cross. He bled and died. His blood was shed so that we could be right with God, so that we could have forgiveness. John says right in here, he says it all through here, but in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's just because Christ paid for those. Christ died for those. His blood was already shed. There's not a continuing sacrifice, as the writer of Hebrews says. There was one. It was Jesus. And so now we can be right with him if we confess our sins. He's faithful and he's also just to forgive us our sins. Isn't that amazing? God got involved. He demonstrated his relational nature and that he wants to have fellowship with us. He took action when we needed it. God's mission, let's see, where are we at, Tracy? Why don't you pop ahead several there? Keep going. Go ahead, keep going. God's mission, though, is one that we miss today, I think, to our hurt. And I think one of the reasons that we miss it to our hurt, why I say that, is because there is a richness of life that we kind of do without sometimes. And I've been meditating on this a lot lately, and especially this week and thinking about it. But I think I understand some of the dynamics of why we miss out on some of the richness of life. And there's a whole historical context of people trying to think about life and trying to think about relationship with God and all those things that adds to it. People in Jesus' day were really big on getting something done and being good enough to be right with God. And a lot of the people that were the leaders in that were called Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees had not only said that they were going to keep the Old Testament law, which was right for them to try to do because God had set that up for them, God's people. But they had also made over 800 other laws to keep you away from the law. So you would say, well, since I don't want to break God's law, keep this rule as well to keep you away. Well, that doesn't work, right? Because why? God is holy. I don't know about you, but I've never met anyone that's been holy yet, right? Each one of us still has a sin nature. Even after we become believers, God works a progressive work in our life to change and grow us. We miss out on an aspect of life that is very rich in that we can have an actual relationship with God. People, in response to not wanting to try to work from heaven, they say, well, I'm just going to do nothing then. I'm going to do nothing. I have no responsibility. No responsibility. I'm just going to say, I accept Jesus as my Savior. I do nothing. It makes no difference or no impact in my life. Now think about this with me. If God really was just going to say, there's no responsibility, you get saved, why wasn't he just pop us to heaven? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Because there's a work that God has for his people here. And guess what it is? It is to have a relationship with him. It's to know him. It's to enjoy him. It's to love him. It's to grow, to be like Jesus, to experience him in the world. Jesus came not just to give us heaven. Now, that's wonderful. We like that, right? We're glad that there is forgiveness. We're glad that we don't have to suffer hell, that we can have eternity with him, that we can have a relationship, that we can have eternity. But it's all about a relationship now with him. Behold, everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Jesus says in John 3, you must be born again. It's new life. New life you're given. Redemption, freedom. And not freedom to yourself. That's a ripoff. Freedom to live for yourself and then just take heaven at the end of life. Do whatever you want, live however you want to, take heaven at the end of the life. Boy, what a bonus. No. No, that's a ripoff. The richness comes in a life growing and knowing and loving and enjoying the Creator who redeemed you. God, looking down from ages past and seeing and knowing you, sending Jesus to die for your sins so that you don't have to. Jesus dies, pays your penalty. God, sending His Spirit to work in your heart to give you redemption and to make you new. And then entering into a lifelong process with you that's relational, where He is actively involved in your life, where He loves you, where you grow in knowing Him, where you grow in trusting Him, where your faith grows, and where you can be a witness and a light for Him, where you can see Him working in your life. I am continually stunned when that happens, both in my life and in people that I know. I don't know why. It's kind of stupid. I actually think about that a lot. I'm like, some days I'll be like, whoa, man, God really showed up there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, duh. You know, that's what He's about, right? That's what He does. Of course He showed up. That's God's business. He's a restoring God. He's a loving God. And He wants to have a deep relationship with us. And I think as people, and I think I know a lot of the reasons why, but we miss out on that. And we think, well, yeah, I don't want to do that. It's a bunch of rules. Or I don't want to listen to that. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And I have my understanding and you have your understanding or whatever. And we miss this thing where it says we can have fellowship with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. You see that? The relational nature of Jesus coming is that we can have a relationship with God and we can have a relationship restored with each other. Life becomes very sweet. We don't have to just kind of muck it along through here and try to figure it out and plow through life and hope you get to heaven and it's better. You don't have to do that. You can know Him now. You can live for Him. He becomes your Father, as we read this morning. To those who have received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Right? My children, it would be terrible if my children wanted to live their whole life with nothing or very little to do with me. I would hate that. But what I desire is to have a relationship where I know them and they know me and we enjoy one another and we love one another. That is the relationship that God the Father, the Creator God, wants to have with you. He wants you to experience Him, to know Him, to grow, to enjoy Him. He is the source of all joy. In America, probably everywhere, because people are everywhere, Christmas time is much about stuff. Right? We said this year we don't have very many presents. So you got them all out. There's a huge stack of presents. It's like, wow, we don't have very many. Are you kidding me? It's about the stuff. And it's meant to be about a relationship. Think about the lengths that God went so that you could have a relationship with Him. Did He not prove that He is committed? He did. He proved it. He is committed to you. He is committed to have a relationship with you. That's what He wants. You can have that. You can know Him. You can have this fellowship that John talked about. We have seen with our eyes. We have looked upon Him. Our hands have handled Him. Eternal life was which the Father was shown to us, made manifest to us. So the only right response for us this morning is, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, to live for Him. We make it our aim, whether we're present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says that those who died with Him, we judge thus, that one died, and He died for all, that those who died should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. We have a responsibility to live for Him, but it's not a bummer responsibility. It's not every responsibility has to be negative, right, in our culture today. No, it's a great responsibility. It's really a privilege. To be able to live for Him, to serve Him, to know Him, to grow. And we're really missing out on a big part of life if we don't, as John says, walk in the light, live for Him, and have a relationship with Him, and restores our relationship with others. Thought I'd like to leave us with this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel comes from compound Greek word, and it just means good word, good news, good message. The gospel is that people have sinned. That doesn't sound like a lot of good news, right? Well, there's more. Sin is an affront to a holy God. He can't stand it in His presence. But God took action. His plan was Jesus. Jesus came, who knows when, but probably around this time, born in humble circumstances, born a real person, born to a poor family. He lived a real life. He grew. He came and He ministered and He gave Himself for people. He loved on us. He showed us what a real life was supposed to be lived like before sin. He didn't sin. He was holy Himself. He died on the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed for forgiveness of those sins. Every person had sinned, every single one. He Himself is the gift. He rose again the third day. And He is with the Father right now, back in heaven again. You can know Him. And maybe you've heard that. Maybe you use the language that we love. I'm saved. I'm whatever. I'm Christian. How's your relationship with Him? John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The message is your life can be a lot more rich. It's a wonderful message. The message is you can know joy that maybe you don't know right now. The message is you can have a peace in your life that may have been elusive to you until this point. By placing your trust in Jesus Christ and starting to grow, beginning to say yes to Him, looking into His Word and finding out what His will is for you, walking in the light, letting the things that are hidden or dark in your life come out and starting to let God work. It's about fellowship. God can't have fellowship with you if you're in darkness because He is light. And He proved that He wants to. Do you? I hope you do. Probably most of you do, but I really do. It's my prayer this morning for all of us that we would grow, that we could enjoy and experience life God's way. Taste and see that the Lord is good this morning with me. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for John's testimony this morning. God, You understand us more than we do ourselves, and You know our weakness. You knew what was going to happen in the world and what people were going to do. But You had a wonderful plan. An amazing plan to send Jesus Christ. Thank You. It's the only thing we can say is we were helpless without Him. God, help us all to know You more, to seek You more, to enjoy You, to look to You and not to the things of the world or even other people or whatever, but rather to grow in loving You and knowing You. God, I just pray for anyone here that maybe doesn't know You, that they would accept Your free gift of salvation today and be born again. And God, if anyone is here, that you would just work in their heart. And God, just And any one of us here today, especially this time of year, help us to really think through and respond to the truth of how far you went in this business of restoration. And that, God, we would take up our responsibility and respond to you saying, yes, Lord, whatever you have for me, I love you. Thank you for your sacrifice on my behalf. How can I please you? And God, just pray that you'd help us to be a blessing to everyone around us, especially this time of year, as we think about the gift that we have been given, that we would be particularly gracious to others in our life and others in need. In Jesus' name, amen.